Welcome to Ship to Shore with Silverman, with your host, talk radio advocate, Fran Silverman. This show is all about cruises. Today, my guest is Mike Thiel, president of Hideaways International, a membership-based boutique travel agency founded in 1979. Mike has spent his life trotting the globe and early on was known as Mr. Villa Vacation for his work in popularizing villa vacations. A sought-after resort for travel insight that includes luxury cruises, Mike also has had experience with river cruising, barging, and yacht chartering. His website is www.hideaways.com. Now, Hideaways operates two main entities, Hideaways Aficionado Club and Hideaways Collection. Mike, welcome to the show.
Francine, good to be aboard.
Okay, now how about describing each offering?
Sure. The Hideaways Aficionado Club is pretty much as the name suggests, an aficionado as opposed to a connoisseur, somebody who enjoys something and likes it, not necessarily is expert at it. We, on the other hand, are the experts. Our members are the aficionados. And what we do is we search the globe for its best boutique hotels, resorts, off the beaten path places, summer city places. We really travel pretty much all around seeking out best vacation destinations that, as we like to put it, will get you away from the masses. We are all about and into character, special places, service, architecture, neat places that are worth talking about and staying at and enjoying in and of themselves, let alone the destination where they are. Now, the Hideaways Collection is our by invitation program for the hotels that we search out around the world. Should they choose to become part of our preferred network of suppliers that give our members benefits and perks that go beyond the ordinary. Usually our members get a discount for staying at these properties from their published rates. In addition to that, they enjoy special VIP privileges like room upgrades, early check-in, late check-out. And then we always negotiate what we hope is going to be a very special perk that is experiential in nature, something like a romantic dinner on the beach served for two people, or special excursion, special trip, something that you're going to remember as part of your stay. So that's
okay.
Pretty much what it is.
Well, you didn't mention that you have 15,000 members.
We do.
Yeah, in the Aficionado Club.
And they're all over the world, although mostly in the United States, but we occasionally will get somebody who picks up the phone or email and calls us from Japan and says, hey, I want to book a cruise on, I know we've had somebody from Japan book a cruise on Windstar, and somebody from Finland pick up the phone and call us and say, hey, I'd like to stay at this Caribbean resort that you told me about. So,
do they automatically go into the membership club when they called you up?
No. We're a membership club that is truly a membership club in the sense that there is a membership fee. I know these days a lot of membership clubs say, oh, we're a membership club and all you have to do is give us your name and address. We provide a really valuable service and we price it at much less than what the value is, frankly. It's $195 a year to be a Hideaways member, but you're going to save that just the first time you stay at any of our preferred places and get the discount and the VIP perks that come along with it, not to mention that we like to think that we're vacation savers. You can stay in ordinary places and whatever, but we're going to guarantee that you stay in extraordinary places that you really remember and rave about for the rest of your life.
Yes, a four-month membership tryout is $49. So
correct.
So in other words, now I know that you test out the ships and the places before you approve them for your to have them in your club or your Hideaways Collection or whatever. But do you have to investigate the members as well, Or
well,
they join up?
No, they join up. It would be impossible to investigate the members. We just assume that somebody who's willing to join us is somebody who has good taste in vacationing and wants to experience, you know, the best of kind places we like to say that we search out around the world. They're not probably going to be staying at Holiday Inns and ordinary Hyatts. They're looking for something more special than that.
Now, 50% of your business are cruises. Is the other 50% villa vacations?
It would be a combination of villa vacations and these special boutique properties that we've searched out around the world. It's all very independent travel. We're all about custom travel and fitting the experience to the person and what they're interested in. Because it may be that, you know, one place is, as for instance, too quiet for somebody. I just read a return survey from a member who said, you know, I love this place, it fit us well, but for some people it might not work because there wasn't any music around the swimming pool and it was relatively quiet and there wasn't a whole lot of extra activities to do. So for them it worked, but they thought it wouldn't work for other people because of those characteristics. And, you know, so every vacation that we do starts with a lot of questions about what are you looking for? What is your vacation style?
Yeah, well, the smaller ships and the luxury ships don't have swimming pools and they don't have entertainment at night except maybe a band, you know, an orchestra, a small orchestra, or a band, or something, or somebody playing the piano. It all depends on what you want.
Exactly. Actually, most of the luxury ships do have swimming pools. They may be smallish swimming pools. In fact, I think that the limiting thing on swimming pools on ships is not even necessarily the size of the ship. It's the fact that once you get a swimming pool above a certain size, there's an awful lot of water sloshing around there, and it can upset the stability of the ship, not to mention be splashing all over the sides of the decks around it. So even big ships don't necessarily have huge pools. But you're right about the entertainment side of things. Some of the larger ships, is getting into 600 and 700 and 800 people, not the thousands of people. We are not advocates of getting on board ships that have 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 people. But the larger ships in for us in the 600 and 700, 800 person category would often have a fairly decent evening entertainment and shows. They're certainly going to have a small casino as well. At least the majority of them would. But beyond that, a lot of it is make your own entertainment. During the day, it's maybe read a good book by a swimming pool without a lot of noise and music knocking your ears out, or anybody inviting you to play the swimming pool polo or whatever it is they do on the big ships. So, you know, you don't have a cruise director who's running around announcing, you know, tea is being served on the Lido deck or the next game thing that they're doing. That kind of stuff is for the more sophisticated traveler. That's not what they're looking for, usually.
What do you do if you're a person who doesn't have much money, but you do have this kind of taste, the luxury taste? Then what do you do?
That's a
problem, because the luxury ships and the luxury sailing vessels are really they're geared for people with a lot of money.
Well, you look for a good, let me address that, because you'll see a lot of come-ons from some of the other cruise lines where the price is only, whatever, $1,000 per person or for a 7-day cruise or even less. But by the time you end up buying all your drinks and paying for all the extras, you'd be amazed at how that can run up. And that's one of the critiques that we hear, as opposed to on many of the luxury ships. They tend to be more all-inclusive and include, in many cases, your drinks, your gratuities. So it's really an issue of value and not so much price. If you started to add up everything that you get as extras included in the luxury cruises. They may not come out as so expensive as you might think as compared to some of the more, you know, ordinary for the masses type cruising experiences.
Mm-hmm. Can river cruising be luxury as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What are some of the ships that go on the rivers?
Well, there's a whole lot of different lines now, and river cruising is getting more and more popular and all over the world. It started pretty much in Europe, but from Europe, I'm going to say that maybe the Nile probably started at the same time doing river cruising on the Nile, which is, of course, very historic and sort of a great anthropology experience and study. But now you can do river cruising in Southeast Asia as well, on the Mekong River, as well as on the Yangtze River in China. We did a cruise last year exactly at this time on the Nile, and we did it on one of the two Oberoi hotel ships. Oberoi has two hotels in Egypt, and they run two cruise ships. We did it on the more traditional and less luxurious of their two ships, because that's the one that does a four-day cruise, and that's about all the time we had to spend. However, we did tour their more luxurious ship called the Zara, and boy, what an elegant river cruise ship that is.
Zara? Z-A-R-A?
Z-A-H-R-A.
Sorry, what is that?
Z-A-H-R-A.
Zara.
It's ultra modern, has its own screening room with sort of a theater in the round for guests to sit there and pre any of stops along the Nile. You get a personal guide who goes over what you're going to be seeing and does movie projections of what you're going to be experiencing and some of the history and the culture behind it all. Spacious rooms done very elegantly, hardwood floors, nice oriental carpets, etc. It's just a super elegant experience. We spent an evening touring it and having dinner on board, and we were sort of kicking ourselves saying, wow, wouldn't it have been great to have done the Nile on this ship? One of the new cruise lines that is joining the Hideaways collection, and which we're going to be experiencing very shortly, at least one of their ships, is Sea Cloud. And Sea Cloud has a river cruiser and the rivers of Europe, which is ultra elegant. Their two ocean-going ships are actually square-rigged sail ships, and we're looking forward greatly to sailing from Naples around Sicily and over to Malta on it in just about 2 weeks' time. The ship that we're on is a modern reproduction of a clipper ship or yacht, the sailing yacht, if you would, the original in their fleet, which was the yacht belonging to Marjorie Merriweather Post of Post Serials fame way back in the 1920s. It's just a supremely elegant yacht with fireplaces in the suites and very limited capacity. They take about 60, 80 passengers each, and you're served by an equal number of crew, which is a good ratio.
Okay, Mike. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the Sea Cloud. That's the Sea Cloud 2 you're going on, right?
We're going on the 2, exactly.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
Are you a self-made new age author, speaker, or entrepreneur? Radio show exposure can get you noticed. Fran Silverman, a friend of Choice Treasures and Gem Gin Global Digital Broadcast, has compiled a comprehensive ebook with scores of direct line contacts to booking agents for real live talk shows, that are interested in booking you as a guest. Francine Silverman, the talk radio advocate, is also author of Talk Radio Wants You, an intimate guide to 700 shows and how to get invited, a national Best Book Award winner. She's also the author of 16 successful ebooks. Go to www.talkradioadvocate.com for more information.
Joyce Treasures, blazing the trails of success.
Okay, we're back. Now, Mike, according to my Berlitz travel guide, the Sea Cloud 2 is a 5-star line. And it says, overall, Sea Cloud 2 is one of the most luxurious true sailing ships in the world. So when you go sailing on this ship, how does that work? Did they contact you to become part of your company?
Yes and no. We've been in touch with them over a number of years. I mean, they've been on our radar as the kind of opportunity and vacation experience that we feel would appeal to our members and our clientele. We've been working with some of the other sail ships over many, many years, the original one being the Windstar. We loved the concept of Windstar when we first heard about it, which was a year or two before it was launched. I got in touch with the president of the company and said, hey, look, I think what you're planning here for a sailing ship, a sailing cruise ship, would really appeal to our members. And so we struck a deal to do something special for our members, and we worked with Windstar over many, many years. Now, they've transitioned and gone from one owner to another, and we still put people on board there. We don't have a particularly unique relationship with them, but that was sort of led us to also do similarly with Star Clippers. Star Clippers is probably a more authentic sailing experience than, say, Windstar is. Windstar is very modern, mechanically operated sails, all computer-driven, etc. It's a really nice ship, and it's more elegant than Star Clipper is, say. Appeals to a different sort of person for the most part. And by the way, that's something we should probably talk about is cruising style and the individual, because you might say, oh, a cruise is a cruise is a cruise. Well, it really isn't. They're all very different, and making sure that you have the right cruise for the right person is terribly important, and that's why it's important to go to a good travel agent who knows their cruise experiences well and can represent them well and not sell you a bill of goods, if you would, on what you're going to experience aboard. But getting back to Sea Cloud, Sea Cloud we just know to be a great experience. We've had people and members sail it and report back to us, and so we said, you know, we've got to do something special here. So we've been negotiating that with them, and we want to get a story on it, so we're going on board it to check it out and report on it and make sure that it's really the 5-star that it is, and that the experience that we can represent the experience well to our own members.
Mm-hmm. What specific things do you look for when you go on a new cruise line when you're checking them out?
Okay. Well, first of all, we like service is terribly important. We want to know that you're going to have a level of service that is good but not intrusive. And there's, you know, that's really to us sort of key. We've been to places where the service is like all over you all the time, and it gets to be a little overbearing and intrusive, and that's not my favorite anyway. I don't want people sort of kowtowing to me the whole time. I just want them there when I need them and paying attention to things. I'll give you an example. I think it was on Regent that we were sailing, and we were in a little cocktail party situation, and I dropped a knife or dropped something there. Well, that thing barely hit the floor before somebody was there to pick it up. And I mean, I wouldn't call that intrusive. That was just really thoughtful. They had their eye on the whole room and were scanning it. Anything went amiss, man, they were there and right on top of it, and picked it up. You know, you didn't have to bend over with other people at your elbows and whatever and pick it up. But there's other examples as well. But dining, we think dining's awfully important. And on a cruise ship, you want to have a nice balance and combination between formal, high-level dining and more casual dining. Room, how large your staterooms are or your suites, how they're appointed, that's important to us. Having adequate deck space and places where you can hide out from other people and sit and read a good book or any other services that may be provided, like spa services on board. We really pretty much check it all out and sort of take mental notes or actual notes as to what we're seeing and what we're experiencing.
What about food? Excursion. You didn't mention food.
Oh, I did, actually.
Did you?
I did. I said dining venues that offer...
Oh, well, you said formal or casual, but you didn't...
Well, yeah, the quality of the food goes without saying. Obviously, it better be pretty nice food in whichever venue it is. In some cases, maybe this is just me, but some of the frilliest of gourmet foods, to me, are not necessarily what... good dining is all about. Sometimes it can be overdone in that regard. I've never experienced that on a cruise, though. Cruises usually tend to hit the mark in terms of a good overall dining experience. When I said frilly, I'm thinking of some Michelin 1- and 2-star restaurants that we've eaten in our lives where the service was great, and the food was interesting, but it wasn't particularly memorable. It was like, what did I eat? It was all stacked very high and very beautifully plated, but what exactly was that?
Yeah. Well, do they know, like in a restaurant, when a restaurant reviewer comes in, I don't know sometimes whether they know that they're there so their service is better. Do they know who you are and that you're checking them out?
You know, that's an interesting point, Francine. The answer is management usually knows that we're there, but the service level people are not usually tuned into who we are or why we're there. So in my mind, you can usually tell whether you're getting any different treatment than any other guests. I mean, we keep an eye on how they serve other guests as well, not just us. Plus, we usually talk to other guests when we're either at a hotel or on a cruise and sort of quiz them as to how they're finding the experience and what their critiques are. I always do exit interviews. Even when I'm touring a hotel and I only have a half hour there, I try to find an opportunity to corner up to some guests and ask them, you know, how long have you been here? What do you think are the best things about this hotel and the worst? Those are my two questions of them usually. You know, what do you like most about whatever this place is you're staying? What do you like least about it? Where have they tripped up and fallen down? So we try to quiz people along the way, not only take our own notes.
Oh, so how often do you go off on these jaunts?
It varies depending on how busy things are at home and a little bit on what the opportunities are. I have to be very honest with you, Francine, and say I'm getting a little bit jaded because I've been to so many places around the world that there's places that I say, oh, gosh, I'm not sure I want to go back there again. But normally we take off about 4 to 6 times a year, more like the 6 times a year, you include the shorter trips.
I assume you have a staff that can take care of people who call when you're away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have a tight-knit but good staff. There's about Hideaways is, if you took all the part-timers and people involved, maybe 15 people we run with.
Oh, I didn't realize you had that many.
Yep.
Well, of course, you've been in business since 1979, so I guess...
We have
about 5 minutes, so why don't you talk about the advantages of a small and a large ship? I mean, you did mention
okay.
some of them.
Yeah. The small ship one, you're going to get to know most of your fellow passengers, probably, depending on the size of the ship. On most river ships, you'll get to know at least a goodly number of them. And that has its pluses and its minuses. Hopefully you're going to find a few people among the few hundred people that are on your cruise that you really enjoy and you get along with and become famous friends with. I guess in a sense there's an opportunity, unless you get lost in the crowd. I think you could get lost in the crowd on a large ship, and maybe you meet up with somebody who you like, but I think the crowd is the point there. On the large ship, you're going to be dealing with a crowd situation, anyway you cut it, and especially when you put into a small port. If you put into a small port with 3,000 other passengers who are disgorging from this large ship, let's say on St. Bart's, God forbid, I'm not sure any big ships actually go into St. Bart's, but you know, they're going to be overwhelming the local stores, the local restaurants, just about everything. You're not really going to get a real experience of what that destination is like without 3,000 other passengers crowding around it.
Well, the truth of the matter is not everybody gets off the ship. I mean,
yeah,
I was
that's
on
probably
the
true.
Oasis of the Seas, and I can tell you that there were 6,000 people, and they didn't all get off the ship.
Huh. Interesting. Well, you know the big ship experience probably better than I, because it's been a long time since I've been on a big ship. But I've seen them come into ports, like the last time we were in Georgetown in Grand Cayman. We were on this tiny ship with 100 passengers. It was a yacht-like ship, the Sea Goddess. I'm sorry, the Sea Dream it's now called, same ship. On each side of us was a huge ship that had thousands of passengers. And when we got ashore, I mean, all of Georgetown was overwhelmed by maybe three ships that each disgorged 2,000 to 3,000 people. So that was like 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people from these other ships, and our poor little 100 people from our ship that went ashore. Frankly, I would have preferred to experience Georgetown without those other 7,000 or 8,000 people wandering around.
Yes, well, that's true. When a lot of ships dock, then you have people from a lot of different ships getting off.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
When we stopped, we except for, I think, Jamaica, we didn't have other ships. We didn't have other ships that were
in the same
place. So.
Well, the beauty of the small ship is, too, that you can make it into ports that other bigger ships can't make it into. Like I mentioned St. Bart's. I don't believe St. Bart's takes any of the super big ships. It may take some that take several hundred passengers, maybe even 600 or 800, but it doesn't take the 1,000 passenger ships. Some of the ports that we're going to be going into in Sicily and the Aeolian Islands, I don't think I've ever seen that on an itinerary for any of the larger ships.
Well, when are you leaving, Mike?
We're on our way to Naples next Thursday.
We'll have a wonderful trip, because we're out of time, and I want
to
thank you for being my guest. Again, you're just filled with great information.
We will say ciao in the spirit of...
Okay.
So,
you've been listening to Ship to Shore with Silverman, and happy cruising. Okay. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.